Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com, joining us this morning talking about the Browns' weekend against the Bengals. When we started, the kind of going into the game was like the return of Nick Chubb. And now it's kind of like maybe the exit of Deshaun Watson related to what happened in yesterday's game. And they're losing 21-14, sort of similar story as far as the Browns scoring, I guess. But, Scott, I guess before we get to the game itself, talk a little bit about, I guess, Deshaun Watson, that potential season-ending injury, the crowd response, and then the locker room afterwards. If you can kind of all digest, I know that's probably a
short... There's a lot there.
Absolutely.
I probably wrote about 2,000 words on it yesterday. So end of the first half, he goes to run a quarterback sneak. The right Achilles appears to tear. You can see the ripple in the calf. Browns expect the season to be over with that torn Achilles. They're going to have that confirmed today with more tests. While he's on the ground, the fan reaction did not sit well with the players. There were some cheers. You know, in the press box, you can only hear so much because you're sealed in. I talked to somebody on the field who said it was really loud, the cheers, and obviously the Browns players, Watson's teammates, did not sit well with them. Miles Garrett gave kind of a speech or a lecture saying his fans should be ashamed of themselves. Everyone needs to be better. He wasn't alone. Jameis Winston, one of the quarterbacks, said something similar. Kevin Stefanski, the coach, said it was disappointing to hear the cheers. Joel Bitonio, it was across the locker room. Greg Newsom called it BS. So the players were offended by that reaction. And we know why, you know, the fans have that reaction, either because of Deshaun Watson's history off the field or, in my opinion, more likely because of his performance on the field since he's joined the Browns. And it's not been good. He hasn't been worth the big, you know, the big money that the Browns are paying him, the high price and draft picks that they gave away to get him in 2022. But, you know, they just have a real problem with cheering anybody when they're injured, let alone one of your own players. And it's such a serious injury, you could tell it was serious, the card came out. So, you know, that was part of the big story yesterday. And then when you go big picture on Watson, he played 6 games in 2022 with the Browns because he was suspended for 11 for violating the personal conduct policy. He played 6 games in 2023 because of shoulder injuries, and he needed a surgery in November, which knocked him out for the rest of the season. And then this year, most likely, he's going to be limited to 6.5 games. And it's just, if you're the organization, it's got to be extremely frustrating and disappointing that he has not been available at all to even try to get back to that form that he showed in Houston. The reason they spent so many resources to get him, now it's, you know, let's assume it's the torn Achilles. It's a long rehab. And even if he's back in time for next year, can you count on him to be your starting quarterback physically and performance-wise? He hasn't played well enough to, in my opinion, to commit to, okay, he's going to be the guy if he's back healthy. So the Browns have some huge decisions to make moving forward with the backdrop that they still owe him $46 million guaranteed in each of the next 2 seasons, and his salary cap hit is $73 million in each of the next 2 seasons. So there's a lot for this organization to figure out while they're 1-6 and on a 5-game losing streak.
Let's talk also about the quarterback room and the situation this week where who we thought maybe was the number 2 quarterback, but who became the number 2 quarterback. Sure. When did you find all this out, and how did you kind of see how it developed?
I mean, that's another interesting layer to this. Found it out pregame, a little bit before the actual announcement that Jameis Winston was demoted from the number 2, like he had been the first 6 games, to the emergency number 3 quarterback, where you can only play if the first 2 guys get hurt. And in his place was Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who had been the number 3. And, you know, the reason Kevin Stefanski said after the game was that he considers both number 2s. They weren't going to use Winston on quarterback sneaks like they had the first 6 weeks. So they felt Dorian Thompson-Robinson was the better choice to be the number 2 this week. Well, right away, or not right away, but at the end of the first half when Watson gets hurt, then you have to go to DTR. And he did not play well. He looked, I thought it was interesting, he compared it to his first start last year as a rookie against the Ravens. And he was terrible, and the Browns lost. And that week, everybody thought Deshaun Watson was going to start. It was when he had first hurt the shoulder the week before against Tennessee, but there was a lot of confidence he was going to play. And then pregame, all of a sudden he couldn't throw like he wanted to, and Thompson Robinson starts and just isn't any good and looked nervous and made a bunch of mistakes. And he compared it to that, which is, you know, not a good look and not a good sign that a year later and after making two other starts as a rookie that he would play so poorly. So, you know, he just looked rushed, and he threw everything really hard, and he tried to hurdle guys. He didn't look settled at all. And that leaves, and then he leaves with a finger injury that the Browns don't know how, the severity of the injury. They don't know if he'll be able to play next week. But if he is healthy, then Kevin Stefanski and the organization have a decision to make. Do you go with the young guy and see what he has, or do you go with Winston, who's played way more, was a former number one overall pick, and see if he can win some games with the veteran? So it's a really unsettled situation with injuries and performance at quarterback, which is obviously the most important position.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, with us this morning. Were you ready for a 100-yard kickoff return to start the game, where people are getting in their seats and they're probably looking at the scoreboard thinking, oh, I guess we're spotting them seven, I guess.
Right. Okay. You know, that got lost. Or maybe not lost, but it certainly got shoved to the background given everything that happened afterward. But it turns out to be a huge play in the game because they lose by 7 points, and it's 7-0, 12 seconds in. So, you know, you talk all about the issues that are dragging the Browns down. And at the head of that list is an offense that can't score 20 points, hasn't scored 20 points in a game this season. But they also talk about have to play complimentary football, and you need all three sides of the ball working for you. That's how you're going to get out of this. And then you start the game by giving up a 100-yard kickoff. And from my seat in the press box, you know, you kind of get the view from above, there's a huge seam. I mean, you can tell right away there's just, like, it looked like an aisle for the guy to run through, and he runs right through it, and then the kicker decides, you know, he kind of tries to make a move on him, but he also had got hurt last year trying to chase a guy down, so he wasn't going to chase him. And he doesn't slow him down enough, and the guy goes for 100 yards. So it's a big play in the game. Then the kicker, Dustin Hopkins, misses a 49-yard field goal, misses an extra point. So, you know, the usually reliable special teams aren't reliable at all. And, yeah, it's a jolt at the beginning of the game, and the Browns recovered because the defense played well, I thought, most of the game, and certainly in the first half. But it's a jolt, and I was trying to tweet out a video of Flavor Flav, who was trying to smash the guitar and was really having a hard time doing it. And before I could get that out, the guy goes 100 yards with the opening kickoff.
That's right. Just when you think you have something, there's always something to top it, and you have to focus on that. Okay, the Ravens are next, right? So what do we have to do to prepare for this team now?
Yes. Well, they got to get way better, and that's asking a lot in a week, and it's asking a lot without – you start a quarterback, even though he's playing poorly. And when I say that, I should throw in, he was 15 for 17 in the first half. Might have been as well as he's played this year. And that wasn't great. And when I looked at those stats, I couldn't believe he was actually 15 for 17 because it didn't feel like he'd played particularly well, except on that last drive when he gets hurt, he was right outside the red zone. They scored late. So that was their first touchdown, Nick Chubb ran in. But, yeah, they need to play better overall. It's a huge ask to do it against the Ravens, who were great last year and are really good again this year. Lamar Jackson's playing at an MVP level. They got Derrick Henry in the running back, and they're a dangerous 1-2 combination. I thought Henry might be too old, but he's playing great so far. The running back that used to be with the Titans, who's led the league in rushing multiple times. The Ravens play tonight. So the Browns will get a look at him. Maybe the short week will affect the Ravens, but it's a huge ask, and somebody told me the Browns were 10-point underdogs.
Well, if DTR is the starting, maybe he can get a redemption game against the Ravens this year. We'll see, right?
There you go. There's a little storyline.
Hopefully. Well, you got a lot of storylines for sure. They'll just fill you up in the sports section there as well. Hopefully get some help in that department with all the stories and all the medical things that are going on. But, Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. Look forward to reading you in the Chronicle and also the brownzone.com. Thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram joining us. Again, it's brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson Merrill and Fritz Company, Attorneys at Law, and by Royal Business Equipment here on WEOL.